The LeConte ferry undergoes repairs again, and southeast herring are deemed abundant, according to a federal agency. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Alaska Marine Highway ferry Aurora is scheduled to take over LeConte sailings on Friday. A generator on the LeConte failed Wednesday. Spokesman Jeremy Woodrow says the Aurora was on its way from Prince William Sound to Ketchikan for a mandated inspection when that happened. It diverted to Juneau, where the inspection was being done Thursday. Woodrow says the LeConte's repair time is not yet known.
The LeConte most likely will be out to the weekend, but the Aurora will be capable of filling in for it until it is back online.
The Aurora missed sailings last month when part of its steering system broke down, and the LeConte missed sailings in December due to problems with its bow thruster. We'll keep you updated on any changes to the ferry schedule. Sea Alaska's CEO says more Native corporations should try to jointly manage fish and wildlife on their lands. Chris McNeil Jr. of the Southeast Regional Native Corporation pointed to a recent proposal from ATNA. That's a corporation for Cantwell and Copper River regions north and east of Anchorage.
I like this because I think it's really thinking out of the box. It's not thinking that we're just contained within Anilka or ANCSA. It's written, but it's a way to be able to create new opportunities so our subsistence rights are fulfilled.
ATNA presented its proposal to a congressional committee last month. Alaska Representative Don Young said he would pursue the idea. It calls for joint management of game and popular hunting areas. The corporation says tribal members have had a hard time bagging moose because of competition from other hunters. Speaking at a Native Issues Forum in Juneau this week, Sea Alaska's McNeil said co-management would give tribal members more say.
There's 44.5 million acres of Native-owned land, and we don't have the right to manage fish and wildlife resources on it, as is the case with all other tribal land in the United States.
McNeil, who retires this summer, acknowledged such management plans will attract opposition, but he says it's done elsewhere.
You know, it's not a new concept. It's maybe new to the policymakers in the state of Alaska, but there is co-management among tribes, federal government and state government in Washington State, Oregon, and also in the Great Lakes states.
McNeil did not say if Sea Alaska would pursue such a proposal. He spoke in the context of the Katie John subsistence case. The U.S. Supreme Court just denied the state's request to overturn that decision this week. After 6 years of study, a federal agency says Southeast Alaska Pacific herring are abundant enough to not warrant a listing on the endangered species list. That was a decision of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration released this week. Julie Spiegel of NOAA says a review of the species showed an uptick in abundance between 1980 and 2011, with positive growth rates. Spiegel says the report also finds that while there may be occasional low levels of herring in areas, levels usually rebound in time.
Although there are some small aggregations that periodically exhibit low levels of abundance, overall, Pacific herring in Southeast Alaska are having a positive trend in abundance, and they're not likely to become endangered within the foreseeable future.
The Juneau chapter of the Sierra Club in 2007 petitioned NOAA to list Pacific herring in Lynn Canal as endangered. They were mainly concerned about the herring between Auk Bay near Juneau and Berners Bay to the north. But a year later, the agency decided a listing wasn't warranted because Lynn Canal herring were not a distinct population or species. Instead, NOAA said, the Alaska Pacific herring population extends from Dixon Entrance south of Ketchikan to Cape Fairweather in Icy Point northwest of Juneau. Mark Rorick of the Juneau Sierra Club wrote the 2007 petition for the listing. He said by email this week he was disappointed in NOAA's finding, particularly because the agency, he says, did not use enough historical data from before 1980 in their calculations of the herring population. Rorick wrote the Sierra Club based its petition on historic records, including information from the Fish and Wildlife Service from the 1940s. Spiegel said the agency did use any available historical data, including information on historical use. The report from NOAA specifically acknowledges historical herring harvests in Auk Bay. Herring no longer spawn there because of development and urbanization, NOAA scientists write in the report. They also examine other threats to the herring population, such as shoreline development, pollutions, especially from cruise ship discharge, and marine traffic and noise. But the report finds no single activities to be an acute threat on herring habitat. The report also says herring in other parts of Alaska have shown increased abundance under similar conditions. Rorick says the Sierra Club is still deciding whether to appeal NOAA's finding. And speaking of herring abundance, Sitka's commercial herring season ended on Saturday after fishermen caught over 17,000 tons of herring in a week and a half. Some Upper Lynn Canal residents do take part in the fishery, and as it does every year, the fishery brought a fleet of seiners to town and drew residents to the waterfront to watch the high-speed derby unfold in front of them. And at the center of all this action was a team of biologists, whose job is to strike a balance between protecting the resource and providing access for fishermen. KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz reports on what herring season looks like when you're standing in the middle of it all.
Each year, the Sitka Sound Sack Row herring fishery starts and ends with this voice.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the fishery will occur in approximately 1 minute. 1 minute, stand by for countdown.
That's biologist Dave Gordon with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Gordon and his team are responsible for managing Sitka's commercial herring fishery, one of the most lucrative fisheries in Alaska, as fast-paced and volatile as it is controversial. Each year, Gordon and his team predict the biomass, or the amount of herring they think will return to Sitka. They set the harvest level, or the amount of fish that seiners will be allowed to catch. In the spring, they fly over the waters of Sitka Sound every day, watching for signs of herring, and announce when the season will open. It's on their say-so that the boats converge on Sitka, coming from around southeast, from Puget Sound, or across the Gulf of Alaska. They decide when there will be an opening, and where. And then Gordon counts it down.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, open. The Sitka Sound Sack Row fishery is now open.
There is a lot riding on their decisions. Over the last decade, the value of the commercial herring fishery to fishermen averaged a total of about $7 million, though this year the fleet faced a weaker market. And then there's intense scrutiny from those who worry that the herring harvest is unsustainable and argue that there should be no commercial fishery at all. Gordon has been doing this work for 18 years. Asked if it ever keeps him up at night, he said,
It kind of does. It's a little, you know, when you look at the machinery involved in this fishery and the, you know, the tenders and the planes and the seiners.
That's the 48 seiners doing the actual fishing, plus the tenders that deliver the fish to the processors, plus the spotter planes flying overhead to scout for herring, not to mention the test boats sampling the fish and skiffs zooming around to deliver samples or count the catch.
So the amount of money that's been invested in this fishery.
Which is a lot. The state estimates that the price of a permit, that's the cost just to enter this fishery, is now over $400,000.
It's, yeah, there's some time. You try not to dwell on it too much and think about it. But it's, yeah, it definitely does keep you up at night sometimes.
It's 11 a.m. on March 24th.
Attention participants in the Sitka Sound Sack Row fishery. This is the Department of Fish and Game aboard the Kestrel. We're in Eastern Channel right now.
The day after the second opening in the Sitka herring fishery. There's no fishing today as processors work through the previous day's catch. Gordon is on the state research vessel, the Kestrel. He's surrounded by half a dozen other fish and game biologists, some of whom have flown in from around southeast to help out during herring season. The Kestrel is doing its daily survey of Sitka Sound.
So we're kind of just doing a zigzag pattern here for Dave to see where these little buggers are.
That's Captain Lito Skeek.
You want me to go on the inside, Dave, or should I take the outside?
Just go
wherever.
Down, Lito.
Wherever we can find them, huh?
Skeek is watching the boat's sonar for the telltale red blotches that indicate the Kestrel is passing over a ball of herring. The Kestrel is mapping these schools and looking for predators like whales and sea lions that might indicate where else the herring are gathered. It's all so they can make a decision about where and when to hold the next opening.
And you're running around from here to there trying to find that opportunity and the time. The day's just going by quickly, and you know that, you know, every day that goes by that you don't make progress, that you know, you're one day closer to the spawning happening. So
timing is everything. Day, you know, the Sitka fishery is a sack row fishery, meaning the herring must be caught while the eggs are still inside the females, in that sliver of time after the eggs mature but before the herring spawn. Once Gordon and his team think they have a large enough volume of mature fish, they call an opening. Asked if he had ever called an opening, counted down, and then found no fish, Gordon said,
"Yes, a number of times actually, and those are probably some of the more painful moments as far as openings go. There's no fish, there's no nets in the water. Everybody's kind of getting on the radio and kind of unhappy with the situation. You have a whole fleet that's mobilized between the seiners and the tenders and the spotter planes. A lot of fuel being burned, a lot of people, you know, putting on their gear and getting ready to do something, and then there's no fish. That's just the way it is. It's herring, yeah.
Throughout the opening, Gordon keeps a running tally of the catch as Fish and Game staff run skiffs from net to net, calling in estimates of how much each boat has caught. Once Gordon sees the fleet is approaching the target for that day, he closes the fishery, usually with just 5 minutes' notice. And then, again, he counts it down.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, close. The Sika fishery is now closed. The Sika Sacro fishery is now closed. This is Department of Fish and Game, Channel 10.
When the season ends, most of the seiners leave town, and the Kestrel leaves town too, but she'll be back. Later in April, Fish and Game will field a team of divers to survey this year's herring spawn. Those surveys are used to estimate the herring biomass and build the model for next year. And then they'll do it all over again. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholtz.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.